Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On this week's episode of Barbecue and Tech, we're going to talk a little bit about chili. And I know it's not cold enough yet for chili, especially not on the East Coast, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, with my partner in crime, co-host, and the chili man, Chris Ashley. What's up, man?
What's up? What's up? What's up, my brother?
I know you are a huge chili maker, and I wanted to do it about a week ago, but we got record 100 degree temperatures.
Like 3 days in a row.
Yeah, it was awful.
And like, I can't do chili if it's too hot outside. Now, the weather's been breaking finally.
Thank God.
Yes. And normally, well, we start seeing the cooler temperatures around the end of August. And normally by now, we got that nice 65, 68, 70 degree weather. But that joint's been holding out on us. So I was just like, man, I just can't do chili if it's too hot. I just can't do it. So even today it's like 74, you know. So now we're getting
a little toasty, but
it's a little high. If it was in that 72 range, but either way, one of the things we love to do on Barbecue and Tech is not only talk about the stuff that we've done, but we also like to talk about the stuff that we're about to do. And it kind of helps us think through certain cooks. And then also it allows you guys to see how we kind of think, how two backyard guys that have some experience, you know, doing bigger stuff, kind of think through these things. And so last year I had done my first smoked chili, which I thought came out really, really good. And, you know, I had purchased a La Crusette Dutch pot so I could put the whole thing in the smoker. And so we'll recap the process of doing that. But this time around, I want to do it again. I want to do it better. So we'll talk about what I liked, what I didn't like, and even comments from my daughter, who's like my biggest critic. I've been training her since birth to taste things and help me out, figure out what needs to be done to it. And then we also want to do a vegan version of the smoked chili. So we're going to kind of talk through that, the substitutions and all of that stuff as well.
Yeah. It can be vegetarian. We don't have to go all the way vegan.
Sure.
Just like something like, I don't want you to feel like you have to go out and buy a vegan sour cream. Because you may not be that I shouldn't say extreme. Some people,
there's a difference, right? You're vegan or you're a vegetarian.
There's a balancing act. You figure out, because I look at vegan recipes all the time. There's one lady who does amazing vegan food. I look at it all the time, but there's points where I'm like, yeah, I'm just using butter. I don't need to use a vegan butter. Like I'm not that far down the pathway.
And I like to always, I talk about this all the time is, you know, I have more than my fair share of friends who are vegan and vegetarian. So I always do stuff for my beef eaters and my meat eaters first. And then I try to find a way to adapt that to my other vegan and vegetarian friends. And that way, you know, cause I always hated when you had a party and then you had like this lonely table of food that looks so unappetizing. And you're like, yeah, it does for you. You guys go in that corner and pick up whatever, you know, lettuce or whatever. And while the rest of us are just slapping down meat like nobody's business and enjoying life, I want everybody to feel like they can all sit around the table and there's not that much disparity in between what the plates look like. However, everybody can enjoy, you know, some good barbecue, no matter what your eating proclivities are. Yes. So there we go.
I think when we go down the pathway, I know you, when you make a vegetarian or vegan chili, you don't mind using, I think it's the Impossible
ground. I use Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat. Okay, Beyond Meat's ground meat.
I've tried both. I prefer the Beyond Meat.
The texture for me is still a bit off with that stuff.
Yeah, so, and that's one of the things we have to talk about. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I'll also provide a link to the vegan recipe I found. And it's funny because when I watch the video, it's the lady I always watch who does a lot of vegan recipes. The thing I liked the most about it was I hate when someone says it's a vegetarian chili or a vegan chili. And it's like, it's soup. It's not chili. And it was funny because she made that joke that you need to get that body into it. And yes. I remember when I went through, there are a couple there's at least one ingredient that absolutely raised my eyebrow when I was looking at it. Like there's some things that where I was like, oh, I've never considered that, but I can see how that would enhance the flavor. The one thing that I turned my head sideways is like cocoa powder, maple syrup. And it was maple syrup to deal with some of the, you know, add a little bit of sweetness to deal with some of the tartness that was going to be in there. Mm. And the cocoa powder was to give it that, I think how she phrased it, that umami type, taste to it, that savory that you get with the meat. But she's like, you don't taste cocoa powder. And I was like,
no,
that's fine.
No.
So yeah. All right. Let's jump into it, man.
All right. So we'll start with my regular version first. So last year, one of the things I had done to really step this thing up, if you're going to spend, you know, a couple $100 on a pot, you know, I'm not just going to throw any nonsense in there. So one of the first things I did was I used Scotch bonnet peppers to give it some heat from my garden. Mm-hmm. Those I grew. But of course, you can go regular jalapenos. So actually, I did do jalapenos as well. But I think I'll do the same thing. And also what I had done is I had taken the peppers and I smoked the peppers on the top shelf in the smoker.
Right.
So not only the hot peppers, the jalapenos and the Scotch bonnet, but I also smoked the bell peppers. And what I did was I left the bell peppers more whole. I just cut out the tops and then I smoked it like that so they would have more body to hold up in the smoker.
Okay.
And then I cut it down afterwards. And I think for that particular aspect, it definitely added some good flavor to the chili. I probably needed to smoke them for a shorter period of time. I think I let them go an hour. I think I'm just going to do like a quick 30 minutes this time.
Okay.
And maybe even in a dirtier smoke. That we talked about with Pitmaster Tyler.
Yep.
Just to make sure the smoke flavor is in there, but give more structure to the peppers so they hold up a lot longer. So I think I'm going to do that. And I think what I'll also do is, you know, whatever I smoke, I'll have some backup that is not smoked just to make sure I'm more for presentation and chunkiness than adding any. So I won't smoke all of it. I'll smoke most of it.
Now for you, you like a hot chili. You want to feel that on the back of your throat when you're.
Yeah. I like my chili a bit spicier. However, I know I'm not going to eat an entire pot of chili. So while I prefer a hotter chili, when I make it, I tone it down a bit because your wife likes to eat. I always give your wife some of my chili. My daughter loves chili. My wife loves chili as well. My mom will eat the chili, so I don't go crazy with it. But as much as I would probably take it a couple more levels hotter for my own preference. But I do tone it down a bit. But it still has a kick, though. You're going to sweat a little bit.
Okay.
I get that heat from some cayenne, and I get that heat from the Scotch bonnet and the jalapenos. So no need to go too crazy. The next thing that I did was I actually got a chunk of,
So really quick, I do want to ask you a question about heat on the chili. I know that you'll tend to put some in. Do you find that you can add something after with the chili? Like
so to bring it back down?
No, to bring it up, like to your level. Like you cook it so that everybody will eat it, but then when you want to pipe it up a bit more, like one of my buddies, he's a chili head. He'll use extracts to like take a little drop or like a pin size head, put it into it. I knew he recently found this salsa. I know you're not putting salsa in chili, but he is one of those chili heads that you can never find anything hot enough. And I got a note from him that made me laugh where he's saying, my wife Heather finally did it. His comment was, this stuff is straight out of hell.
Oh, wow.
And it's called Death by Salsa.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if you tend to want to take something and like kind of, I'm going to add this on top of it.
Sadly, the older I get, I can't take the heat as much as I used to.
Yeah.
And I have no desire to eat stuff to suffer, right? I still want to enjoy to eat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not here to show off and be like, oh, I'm the hottest eating. No, I'm not. That's not me by any sense of the imagination. I like it to have some heat. Like it to have some kick. And generally whatever I come out with in the end, I just stick with. I don't really have a need to say, man, this thing is just not hot enough. Let me go, pour, liquid death into my food so I can suffer for a few, now and later. No, I'm good with that. So I don't actually do that. So, I did get a chunk of, chuck, and I smoked the chuck before I put it into the brisket. And then I ended up cutting up the chuck. And I had also smoked some brisket, and I made burnt ends to sit on top of the chili as a garnish. So both of those things I enjoyed. But my daughter said she didn't enjoy it as much. She did not enjoy the bigger pieces of meat in the chili. My other friend that I usually have could taste some, Marco, he enjoyed it, but my daughter did not. And so she's like, can you just make a regular chili and then, do the other stuff, separately. And obviously you can do a bit of that separation, but it becomes a pain. So instead I'm going to try to figure out a better way to do this. So I think what I still want to smoke some meat ahead of time, but I'm just going to either cut it up smaller or just drop it like in the Cuisinart real quick and just, and cut it so that it's like really, really diced up or really, really much smaller than the chunks that I had. Cause for me, the biggest part about having a great chili is definitely having some body to it. And that comes from a combination of the thickness of the sauce.
Could not agree with you more.
As well as the peppers that are in it, the meat that's in it or whatever. So for me, I'm going to go the route of, I'm going to get another piece of chuck. I will smoke it, ahead of time, but I will take care to I didn't remove a lot of the membrane last time. I removed a bit of it, but I'm going to remove a lot more because what I'm after is for this meat to completely break down. So that it does not become overwhelming in the food. So part of that will be me. I even to the point where I may even wrap it part way through just to really bring that temperature up to like that to 195 level cooking temp so that it breaks down and really starts to separate when it cooks. The other thing is I did enjoy having the fresh ground meat that we had done. So the combination of the brisket and the chuck. I think at the time I did a 50-50. So I probably will repeat that as well. I have some patties that I had made in the freezer. I'm just going to take those out, thaw them out, and just break them up and put them in there as the ground beef. And I know a lot of people like to put pork in their chili. I do it from time to time, but I don't think I'm going to do it on this one. And the onions, I like to do a couple of red onions. I will smoke those off with the peppers as well.
Okay.
So now the cool thing that I had learned. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I do want to ask one question. So typically when someone's doing chili in the house, you're browning that meat. Mm-hmm. And that browning process leaves the brown bits on the bottom of the pan that mm-hmm. you can scrape up, and it starts to add more flavor into it. And it also changes. I don't want to say it changes the texture of the meat, because the meat sits in the chili and you lose that. But do you feel you lose anything by smoking the meat that you would find in the chili? Were you browning the meat inside?
No, because the chunks, the bigger pieces is what I smoked, which brought a lot of smoke flavor. But the ground is I actually still started in the pot on the inside of the house.
Okay.
So essentially what I'm doing is I'm taking time to prep all my ingredients, right? So normally prep for this type of thing is cut all the peppers, cut all the onions, you know, and then get your ground beef and then cook off the ground beef, add the peppers, you know, saute that down and what have you. So, but for this chili, it's a whole extra step, right? So I'm going to smoke all these things first, and then I'll cut them up, and then I will still start the chili inside in the stove. Now, traditionally, I had always done a few cans of tomato sauce, a few cans of crushed tomatoes. Just so you know, it's not just a bunch of sauce. It has some texture.
Yep.
And the last time I had learned a bit different technique, which is to really make the broth, make like a almost like a not a broth, but use broth when I'm cooking everything down, you know. And so it's a lot more like the sauce from the broth from the beef, some beef broth on top of there, cook everything down like that, and then add the red sauce, the tomato sauce to that to give it the color, versus cooking everything down and then it just on its own and then immediately adding, the different sauces. Does that make sense?
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, and what I found was that technique actually gave everything a bit more body in the flavor. You know what I mean? It wasn't a ton of red sauce. So I can use less red sauce, you know, like less tomatoes.
Yeah.
But I still get a nice chili, and then I can still add in, the tomato paste at the end to make it, you know, to get it as thick as I want it to be. So that technique I'm going to employ again. So starting out with all those ingredients, putting the ground beef in the pot, cooking that down, a bit. And then adding in the peppers, the onions, first the uncooked ones. And then towards the end, I'll add in the smoked ones, put all that together, obviously salt, pepper, garlic as needed. And then that whole crock pot will go on the smoker for a few hours. So, the biggest change is how I'm handling the chunkier pieces of meat and how long I'm cooking the smoking the vegetables.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So one thing I found, and I think it's probably more when I started cooking a lot of Indian food or a lot of Thai or any Asian food. I should probably just be more broad on that one. But like Indian food specifically was a lot with your spices, whether it be a cumin or a garlic or anything like that, was really letting those spices open up in your oil. So you want to get those spices in your pan. You want to hit them, drop your spices, your seasonings, your anything that, like your peppers, all that stuff. You really want to get those to pop and open up in that oil. It's probably like 30 seconds in a nice hot oil so they don't burn. But the flavor difference is, especially when you start getting into some of those, like the turmerics and stuff like that, you're like, oh my gosh, versus just dumping in the liquid. Like the difference in a that I found, at least in my time, is dramatic when I've opened those.
Yeah, that's why when I cook the meat, I usually add in all of those spices.
Yeah.
While I'm cooking the meat, so the meat drops the oil then opens up the spices, and then I start putting in everything on top of it. And that one thing for our new listeners and anybody that listened before, just remember that chili seasoning is not necessarily. Over the years, we've gotten really confused with when you see chili seasoning, like, oh, I just grabbed this and this seasons up my chili and that's it. Chili seasoning is not a particular seasoning. It's usually a blend of a bunch of different things
that you could do on your own.
Now, I'm not telling you not to use it. I'm just saying don't just use that. You probably want to add other things as well, because, you may be used to a certain flavor from your chili seasoning, but it's nothing wrong with adding in other things. So, you might want to get some. You have your chili seasoning, and then you can just start adding some chili powder, which may be a mix of a bunch of different peppers. And then you have then you can just do different chilies as well. So, or ground up chilies. Maybe it's a red pepper. Maybe it's paprika. Maybe it's some of those other reddish looking peppers. That's something you can play around with. Other things you can toss in there is a little bit of curry. You can toss in a little bit of cumin for sure. Is what I'll do. Those type of seasonings are definitely going to pop it open. Some chili flakes, just to give it a tiny bit more heat. If you want coriander, those are the cayenne pepper for sure. Those are the things you can kind of look for. And I'll hit our organic market here. And get a bunch of the seasons that I don't still have from the last time I did this.
Yeah, and I will the link I'm including for the vegan recipe. It actually does have a good chili like your chili powder recipe in, like, it's like a kind of add on to it, but it does go through I think 90% of what Chris included in there, plus the different like the ancho chilies and all those types.
Yeah,
of things,
ancho. So. I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
So. Transitioning from those traditions, and I'll wrap it up with the cook times and stuff like that. So I've made a vegetarian, vegan chili, before. The hardest part for me to accomplish is getting the kind of like the body of the chili, so that when you bite into it, it's like a meal. It's not like a soup, like you mentioned earlier. It's not, and to me, that's a bit more than adding in tomato paste, which is what I use to thicken it. So it's more, it's not more than just a thickness. It's a really a consistency about eating it, so that I'm like, okay, this, like, I can eat a bowl of this with a slice of cornbread and I'm good for the next 6 hours. You know what I mean? And that to me is the hardest part, and how you accomplish that. So I think a lot of, YouTube videos, they put beans in, like black beans, and, other than the regular, pinto beans, they probably added a ton. Definitely add in way more peppers and stuff than I would normally. I think I've seen some where they've put eggplant in there, just to give it something else. So what is your plan that you, based on what the one you're going with? And I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So, it's funny, 'cause you're absolutely right. There's a lot of ingredients that, she does add into the chili that I guess you probably would not, deemed to be quote typical chili items. So one example, like you are correct. There's definitely lots of onions in there. She went with whole tomatoes because you kind of just break them down with your hands. She went with pinto beans and she did go with navy beans, but those are the big items that actually were in the body of the chili. It wasn't, there's just a lot of seasoning and spices in there, but there wasn't like 20 different beans inside of here. I mean, outside of that, there's the typical stuff you've already talked about, like jalapenos, tomato paste, garlic, salt, pepper, chipotle. I mean, there's nothing more. It you really are centered around the three things you touched on: navy beans, pinto beans,
yeah,
and onions. Those are the key things that make the body of it. And the tomatoes, that those are the body of your stuff. And I should have sent you a link before the show so you could actually look at it. And I'll drop it in the chat so you can actually look at the recipe. That is my fault for not sending it to you.
Yeah, it's all right.
It is. I honestly look at it and I'm like, I couldn't tell. Now, one of the key things that she did do in her chili recipe was she didn't add the beans super early.
Because
you should add the beans a little bit later in your recipe because you don't want them to start to break down in the chili.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. And like, honestly, like I was looking at the chili, I'm like, man, that really looks like it has meat in it, but it doesn't. And she said you can use like Impossible Burger or whatever the other one is called and add that to the recipe if that's what you want. But her recipe didn't have it in there. And it looks, in my opinion, fantastic.
Definitely a good looking chili. Definitely you can see she went super heavy on the beans. Which, if you like that, knock yourself out.
You have to because you don't have the meat as the alternative, right?
And this is exactly what I was talking about. Without even seeing it, I could, you know, guess what was happening here. And so my goal anytime I do a vegan or vegetarian version of something I smoke is to reduce the amount of disparity between the two. Like, I don't want to say, okay, this doesn't have any meat, so I'm going to put 10 pounds of beans in it. And,
right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and I think that's where the Impossible Burger comes in.
Which is why I like it, using the Impossible Burger. Now, the big trick that I've found when using Beyond Meat or Impossible Burgers is that you cannot treat it like you would do a traditional chili, which is to cook the meat first.
Right.
Can't do that. That has always been my biggest mistake, is putting it in too early because it does not hold up to long periods of super high heat. Nope. Or not even super high heat, just that long simmering cooking down. It doesn't break down well. So I told myself that the next time I do it, I was going to change up the process. I just haven't done it yet. So this, you know, I may make two small batch to test one the process.
I'll make a traditional different kinds of adding it in.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make one traditional and then I'm going to make I'll make my traditional chili and then I'll make a vegan or vegetarian chili. It's probably more vegan because it's not like it's going to have any animal products in it. I'll do that, but this time around, I will add the Beyond Meat the same time I would add the beans. So, which is to me, the very end. So, in fact, I don't even add the beans over the heat when I do my chili. I've learned years ago that the chili is so hot that you don't even need to heat it on the heat. So right. What I'll do is I'll drain off the chilies. I will rinse them to get any extra fiber out of them. That's, you know, or some of the
drain
liquid that's sitting.
You mean, and rinse them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I will just dump the whole thing in the pot when the chili is done and
folding them in
And then by the time everybody's ready to eat, they're perfectly fine and ready to go. And they hold it. And that not only do they work out well at the time of eating it, but reheating it and, you know, going back and forth.
Yeah,
they haven't taken a beating, so they hold up well. So I'll definitely do all the things the same in the beginning. It's just that I'm changing when the Beyond Meat goes in to the chili.
Yeah. So I think our plan was we were going to try to tackle it this week, but it was still a little too warm for us to appreciate it. And honestly, I always say you should make chili, my opinion, 3 or 4 days before you want chili, because that flavor it develops by sitting in the refrigerator for a couple days. When you bring it back out and you heat it back up, oh.
And I know what you're saying when you say that. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I would say more, I would adjust that. I would say make your chili. Yeah, if you're going to make chili tonight for dinner, make your chili for dinner. But just plan like your 2 or 3 day time period out where you're really going to get to experience the reheating of it. Because there's something like when you the chili's done, it's been simmering, and it's super hot that day one, and then you're just shoveling it, you know, scooping it into bowls and stuff.
Yeah.
That experience alone is awesome.
Make it for dinner for Thursday night football and then bring it for tailgating on Sunday football.
Yeah, something like that works. Or, you know, for me, and, you know, the other thing is what you do with the chili afterwards, you know,
right.
Your hot dogs and your chili dogs, and then, you know, throwing it over eggs and all that other stuff. All of that stuff I super enjoy. Chili burgers and all of that jazz is super, super awesome. So, you know, and of course, if you don't have a Le Creuset Dutch oven, you most certainly are not obligated to do that. You can just go get you a regular Dutch oven. I'm going to use oak. I believe it's going to be post oak or hickory, one or the other, for the smoker. No temperature gauge, so I won't be using any of the meat thermometers, obviously. But I tend to bring the heat up to about 300 for this.
Yep.
And then I think I smoked it for about 4 or 5 hours, if I'm not mistaken. It didn't take long. The temperature, you know, really got up there, and plus I'm starting it on the stove, so the temperature is going to be up there anyway.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that the smoke from the chili will get on the outside of your pot. So if you have like a pot that you're worried about, it for the Le Creuset, it cleaned off easily. But that's because I have like the porcelain coating,
on it.
So it just cleaned up really, really, really well. So just keep that in mind before you just go grab your nicest pot and throw it in the smoker. That smoke will definitely change the color, and you may require a bit of elbow grease to get it back. And then are you doing cornbread for the side?
Oh, or? You better believe I'm doing cornbread, and I will absolutely do cornbread in my skillet. So I'll take my skillet, I'll throw in the oven at about 425, 450 to get that skillet like blazing hot, and then I'll make my cornbread. I'll coat the bottom of the. I'll pull it out while it's blazing hot. Coat mm-hmm. the bottom of the pan with some oil, and then pour my cornbread in there and throw it back in and let it finish cooking. My cornbread will be on point. Make no mistakes about that. Absolutely, we'll have cornbread, and it with cornbread, not cornbread muffins.
Okay, so very traditional cornbread, but I'm thinking of going a different route. For us Jamaicans, we have a treat that we call festival. So the two things that are breads, I've been working trying to figure out how to do more of these kind of mashups between my culture growing up and, you know, the love I have for just doing regular smoked food. Festival is essentially a fried cornbread, if you will. But it has a bit of flour, it has a cornmeal, it has sugar, it's very similar to doing just regular fried dumplings, but it just has, because of the sugar, it has a slightly sweeter taste than doing just traditional fried dumplings. So you just mix up all the ingredients, and I'll include.
I was gonna say we should just link to a recipe on it, but I found some recipes for fried Jamaican dumplings. I always send you a Jamaican recipe. You're like, nah, this one, this guy right here. Cause I'm looking at the one guy that you like.
These aren't
Denny's
like,
Kitchen.
These aren't like overly, they do good stuff. But these aren't like festivals. You know, it's not like it's overly.
I will let you put a link in the show notes for that, because I know I will mess it up if I find a bad recipe and then your whole Jamaican name is lost and can't go back to the country.
No, for something like this, it's pretty basic. You know, it's literally just like fried bread. So it's not like you can really mess it up, and it requires all these authentic things. It's, you know, flour, cornmeal, sugar, and bacon.
I've seen America's Worst Cooks. Trust me, so there are some people who strategically know how to mess up anything.
But I like the idea of using these with the chili versus my wife usually, you know, whips up a batch of cornbread. But, the idea of using this instead, it sounds really, really interesting. And for this, we usually make them into kind of like cylinders or longer cylinders. So I'm trying to almost like a bigger size hot dog bun, if you will. That's about the shape of it when it's done.
Just avoid the Jif recipe stuff. That's all I ask.
But yeah, so I think I'm going to do that on the side, and then later on, you know, maybe do some chili burgers or some things along the, along that front. So yeah, so that's the plan for the both the vegan and the update to the regular traditional smoked chili. On a future episode, we'll discuss the results of the plan, as well as what we liked.
Where the plan went awry.
Where it went awry, or where it just knocked it out of the park. Let me take a second too, because Rod and I got a chance last week to meet up with our new homie, Chanda, who was a guest on our show last season. She is just doing such big things with her pop-ups and stuff. She's all over the place. So make sure you guys check her out on Instagram, Feed Me Right Mal. She got our first limited edition barbecue and tech cutting board. I'll put that up on the store, soon. And that came out really good. So it's not something we'll do all the time, because we have our traditional barbecue and tech board, which is the walnut on the inside and then the maple on the outside. But for this particular limited edition one, and we'll do, you know, certain runs of these, periodically. But these are maple borders. Walnut borders with maple on the inside. Just another gorgeous version of our cutting board. I really, really like the way it came out. So we wanted to test one. She posted it this morning, and, you know, people are just loving it. So if you're interested in one of our cutting boards, by all means, head over to barbecueandtech.com. And then if you're interested in ordering one of these boards, we'll make a run of these soon and have them up on the site.
Sounds good. All right, man.
All right.
Until
next week.
Yeah. Yep. Peace.
Peace.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.